know what he predicted? Early spring. He's wrong about 66% of the time, so guess what? Extended winter. Today's also Super Bowl Sunday, but more importantly, today is God's day, and we're in his place this morning to worship, and I'm glad that you're here. I read about two old guys, Fred and Sam, who went to the movies together. A few minutes after it started, Fred heard Sam rustling around, and he seemed to be searching on the floor under his seat. "What are you doing?" asked Fred. Sam, a little grumpy by this time, replied, "I had a caramel in my mouth, and I dropped it out, and I can't find it." Fred told him to forget about it, because it'd be way too dirty by now. "But I've got to," said Sam. "My teeth are in it." To the disciples, it was just another Thursday evening. Jesus had invited them to the upper room in Jerusalem, a place where they had met with Jesus in the past when Jesus would be in Jerusalem. But little did they know that something different was going to happen at this meal. Before the meal began, a debate happened in the upper room between the 12 disciples. They started arguing with each other as to which of the disciples is the greatest. And this argument ensued, and Jesus listened in, and he broke up the quarrel by saying to them, "The greatest among you will be the servant of all." And I'm sure they got silent pretty quickly as Jesus rebuked them with those words. Many scholars believe this argument began because the disciples arrived in the upper room, they reclined at the table, and they looked around the room, and there was no servant boy there to wash their feet. It was customary before you ate a meal that as you reclined at the table, a servant would come and wash your feet before you ate. And there was no servant to be found. So the disciples took it upon themselves. Well, who's number one? Who's top dog? And who's the lowliest of us all? Because that's going to be the one that washes everybody else's feet. I could kind of envision the conversation. Peter speaks up first. He always spoke up first. "Well, guys, you know, I walked on water." To which his brother Andrew replied, "No, I think you sank in water." Then Matthew, the tax collector, spoke up and said, "But guys, that night, I just didn't want to show off." To which brothers James and John responded, "Do you know how many people are going to name their kids after us?" And Thomas said, "You know what? I doubt it." And these 12 bickered back and forth about who is the greatest, and Jesus is about to teach them a lesson without using any words that I'm sure changed their mindset about what it means to be a servant. In John chapter 13, John gives us his recollection of that evening in that upper room. He starts out in verse 1, "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." This is John's recollection of the evening. As he penned this book, I love the last phrase that John uses. He loved them to the end. Aren't you glad that you have a Savior that will love you to the very end? Jesus sat there and washed the feet of a man who later would say, "You're going to deny me 3 times. Jesus washed the feet of a man who had already betrayed Jesus and had sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. Yet Jesus loved them to the end. And regardless of who you are or what you have done in your life, Jesus will love you to the end. But it's up to us to have a response to that. And so then John describes what happens in that upper room in the next couple of verses. Verse 3, "Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." Could you imagine the scene? You read in the Gospels, the disciples weren't always the most aware group of guys. I wonder the first disciple that Jesus came to, if he was even paying attention, perhaps they were still murmuring back and forth about who was the greatest. And Jesus grabs a hold of his feet and starts to wash his feet, and that disciple thinks to himself, well, finally the servant boy showed up. And then he looks down and sees Jesus on his hands and knees, and the water sloshing in the basin, and Jesus dragging it from disciple to disciple. I'm sure you could have heard a pin drop. If the church truly wants to show the love of Jesus to others, then we have to choose to serve faithfully. Each and every member of the body of Christ working together in service to God. And in our community and in the church, there are ample opportunities for us to step out and serve faithfully. But unfortunately, with packed calendars and long to-do lists, we rarely take time to prioritize in our schedule to serve faithfully. It becomes an afterthought, or what I might have an opportunity for or enough time to do, rather than who we are as a follower of Christ. Today I want to share three biblical truths that'll help you and myself to become servants of all. After all, that's what we're called to be. So number one, serving must become a lifestyle rather than an isolated event. And unfortunately, for the vast majority of followers of Christ, that's what it's become. Our mindset is skewed when it comes to being a servant. It becomes isolated events rather than who we are as a follower of Christ. Richard Foster wrote a book about serving. Here's what he says. And this quote from his book, it's really kind of shook me this week about the difference between being someone who just serves and who is a servant. Just listen. When you choose to serve, you're still in charge. You serve on your terms. You can serve once a week, once a month, or just whenever you feel like it. You can choose to give sacrificially or out of abundance, but it's still a decision to give when you want to. While good, this is truly not being a servant. Most Christians choose to serve in this way. But when you choose to be a servant, you give up every right to be in charge. You decide to be a servant every day, all the time. You may have to serve when you don't want to or feel like it. Someone may approach you for money or help and you don't have time to deal with it. When we choose to be a servant, we surrender the right to decide who and when we will serve. We are servants, and no matter when, what, or where, we serve. Did you catch the difference? And I have a fear that far too many bodies of Christ are just those who pick and choose when to serve. Rather than giving up all rights and telling the Lord, use me, I want to be your servant. You see, there's a difference there. A servant has a master. Someone who chooses to just serve dictates things for themselves. And there's a big difference here. If we choose to limit ourselves to just serve rather when we want to, rather than being a sold-out servant, then you're not following Christ as He had called us to. Have you ever said to yourself, you know, I don't want to do that? That's a servant. That's not a servant attitude. But we lay down all rights just as Christ did. And a servant looks for opportunities. And when opportunities arrive to serve, we jump at the chance. Serving consistently and faithfully, that's what glorifies God. And you look around the church as an example. On a Sunday morning, there are ample opportunities to be a servant. There's vacation Bible school, there's our food pantry, mission trips, work days, youth activities, dinners of all kinds, places for members and non-members alike to be a part of the body of Christ, resembling the head, who is Christ, in this way. Not being the type of person that serves when it's convenient, but saying, I give up all rights, God use me, I want to be your servant. Truth number two, when our motives are pure, our service is pleasing to God. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul starts to tell the Philippian church about the sacrifice of Christ. And here's how he starts it out. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You see, selfish ambition and vain conceit, those are enemies of serving the Lord. Bob Goff wrote, our lives will never be about Jesus if we keep making everything about ourselves. And if we look at serving as a way to get a pat on the back or a congratulations, then you have wrong motives. But if our motives are pure in our service to God, then God gains the glory. A servant never looks at serving and asks, what will I gain from this? Now, our society runs things through a filter. That filter being, if I do this act of service, what will I gain from it? How will I be recognized? Will people see what I did? Will I get honor? But that's not what the follower of Christ does. The follower of Christ is a servant. And it's no longer about us, but it's about God gaining the glory in what we do. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. And so the question is, are you willing to be that servant with pure mode of serving God so that He would gain the glory? And it's no longer about ourselves. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul goes on to describe the sacrifice of Jesus. He says in verse 7, He made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. And for 33 years, Christ walked this earth as a servant with no benefit to Himself. He didn't benefit from anything that He did. It was always about others. And His motives were pure because He wanted His heavenly Father to gain the glory. And so everything that you and I do in the name of Christ, in our service to Him as a servant, we do it in a way that reflects the heart of Jesus. We started this message series a couple of weeks ago about loving the church. And that many people have an idea in their minds about what church is about. And unfortunately, many don't see the importance of the church because they see too much of us and not enough of Jesus. And if people see Jesus in the church, that is what is attractive. And so we serve faithfully. We serve faithfully so that people will see Christ and not us. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus says in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Our servanthood isn't designed for our benefit. What did Jesus say here in these words? So that our good deeds will glorify our Heavenly Father. Once again, it's not about you. It's not about me. But it's about people seeing Jesus in us so that God gains the glory. And when you get to the point that you don't need applause or praise for your service, then you've become a servant. And that's what God calls us to. But be rest assured, there's one person who is paying attention. And one day you'll be rewarded for your service in God's kingdom work. We have to believe that God, His reward in the future is far greater than any reward we can get on this earth. And that's what it all boils down to. The third truth is this, value others above yourself. If we're able to value others above ourselves, then we are having a servant attitude, a servant's heart. Can you get yourself to a point where you can say, there's more in this life than me? Rick Warren wrote a book a couple decades ago, Purpose-Driven Life, pretty popular book. The first line reads, it's not about you. And we've made a lot of life about ourselves. But if you can value others above yourself, then you're being that servant that God has called you to be. In Matthew 23, Jesus says in verse 11, the greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And God is going to place in your path ample opportunities to be that servant. Will you humble yourself to do that? Will your life represent Christ and people see in you Jesus because of the way that you serve others? And it's no longer about yourself, that you value people over yourself. And unfortunately, when it comes to serving, Serving, it puts you in a position where you feel uncomfortable. It can cost you time, money, and effort. Will you count the cost? It'll inconvenience you. It'll cause you to help those who are different than you. I share with our elders all the time that in serving in God's kingdom, a lot of times it's going to be inconvenient. But you count the cost. Because kingdom work is the most important work that we can do on this earth. So that people would see Jesus in us and be attracted to the church. What Christ died for. What do you see when you see people? Do you see people when they need served and say, I just see a hassle. I see an inconvenience. I see someone that's not worth my time. Or you know what, I've got my own issues. Or do you see people as an opportunity to serve, to be a servant in someone else's life? Bob Goff, once again, he said, planning to love people is different than just loving people. It's easier to make plans than to make time. If this is you, here's how you fix it. Make your plan to love. This day, this week, would you, as a humble servant of God, be willing to tell the Lord, help me love and help me serve. Help me love and help me serve. When John described that Jesus loved us to the end, he uses that agape love. An unconditional, no strings attached, I will go to the ends of the earth for you and there's nothing that you can do to keep me from doing it. Would we have the same love for others? That we would say, God, help me to love and help me to serve, because this is all much greater than myself. But it's about your kingdom work and being one of your servants. If you say you love the church and you say you love Jesus, then you have no other alternative than to say, I want to be a servant. And I hope that's a choice that you make. I hope that you choose from this day forward to no longer just be someone who serves, but to say, I'm not just a server in my church, I'm a servant. That carries so much more weight. I hope you make that decision. Because your helping hand to a coworker or a neighbor might show someone some compassion that maybe they've been yearning for, but there's been no one there to give it. But you know, you saw it in a helping hand and you were a servant to them, made a world of difference. Perhaps it's a kind word, whether it's verbally said or it's written in a note. It might change someone's attitude. It might brighten their day because you decided to be a servant. Maybe it's that prayer in private that no one in the world knows that you prayed, but God does. And you make that plea for someone else. And you are a servant to them. Perhaps it's a lesson taught. I can think back as a kid in Sunday school to lessons that I was taught about many stories of the Old Testament, about the miracles of Jesus, and everything in between. And those lessons taught changed my life. And perhaps there's a lesson you're teaching someone in your life, and it's going to make a world of difference. Why? Because you chose to be a servant. Perhaps it's just a few dollars given. You see someone who's in need, they're down on their luck, life has been hard, and you're able to serve, and someone sees a generous heart. Why? Because you chose to just be a servant to somebody. To be the example of Christ. Being a servant might sound scary. Being a servant might sound overwhelming or intimidating. God's not asking you to do everything, but He's asking you to do something. Our church family has lost someone, Carlene Pickett, who is a tremendous example of what I've preached about this morning. And in a way, I kind of want to dedicate this message in her honor because of the faithful servanthood that she showed, not just this church, but God's kingdom throughout her entire life. And it's examples like that, and we've lost others over the last few years. There are others who are in this church that have shown this example. And if you're wondering what it looks like to be a true servant, take a look around sometime. Would you be willing to be a part of God's kingdom work and be a servant? to lay down your rights and tell the Lord to use you in some way. And you might be thinking, well, there's other people that have talents and gifts and skills. Perhaps you have them, but you've not tapped into it because you haven't surrendered yourself to being a servant yet. And God may be on the verge of using you in a great way that you never thought was possible, but you're going to have to lay down whatever it is that causes you to resist that. And I welcome you to make that decision this morning, to be a true servant of God. It's time more followers of Jesus rise up, as Gary mentioned earlier. One of the biggest enemies of God's work is to say it's good enough. And I think far too often the church just kind of says, you know, we've done enough. We're doing enough. No. We can always do better. We can always do better. Would you be willing, as Jesus did, to wrap that garment around your waist, get on your hands and knees, and wash feet? I don't know what washing feet, what that resembles in your life, but there is something that God's calling you to, but you have to decide to be a servant. Not just someone that serves when it feels convenient or it's easy, but you lay down all your rights just as Christ did, and He gave us that example to follow. And you tell God, just use me. Just use me. This morning, the first step in this is making Jesus your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, we give you the opportunity this morning to start that conversation, what that looks like to be a follower of Jesus, to lay down your life for the one who has already given His life for you. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've been, Christ is always calling you to Him. We welcome you to make that decision this morning. Many of you have already made that decision. You're a follower of Christ. We're going to worship in this song this morning together. And perhaps you need to make a renewal with the Lord as we sing this song, that I want to lay down all my rights and I want to be a servant. Let's stand this morning and let's worship together.